Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Willem Werner speaking, CEO of Deutsche EuroShop, and I'm here with Olaf Borkers, our CFO, and Patrick Kiss, our head of IR. Thank you for joining our call on the results of the third quarter 2015, and as usual, some general remarks at the beginning. Talking about the running business and the portfolio, we can speak about a more or less normal period. On the investment market side and for potential acquisitions, we see, as expected, a continuing high demand for real estate assets of all kinds of quality, with still a big overhang on demand and further increasing prices. I will elaborate on that topic at the end of the call. Let's start with the operation on page two. Looking on the like-for-like total retail turnover of our tenants in our German centers, we saw the same trend as in the first half year. The more or less flat development continues. In exact numbers, we saw a minus of 0.2%. Also, as previously, we saw the same segment showing a good growth between 1.7% and up to 3.8%. Health and beauty was strong with 3.8%, and also services did well with +3%. Furthermore, food catering and electronics were doing fine with an increase of 1.8% and 1.7% respectively. On the other hand, also the segment showing decreasing turnover stays the same. Textile turnover decreased by 1.6%. However, that's a slight improvement from -2.1% in the first half of the year. Shoes and sport turned out with a minus of 2.4% and 1.1% respectively. The department stores continued on a level as before with a minus of 2.3%. Overall, the picture looks as follows. It's nice to observe that our centers abroad in Poland, Hungary, and Austria showed again increasing turnovers, and at the end of Q3, the number was a plus 0.9% in retail turnover on a like-for-like basis. For the Deutsche EuroShop Group, that means that the overall like-for-like tenant sales were unchanged. Looking at the total sales, that means not like-for-like, we saw also basically no change in Germany. That was a minus 0.1% and a plus 2.1% abroad. The overall tenant sales increased by 0.2% in all Deutsche EuroShop centers. As a result, the rent-to-sales ratio stood at a stable level of now 9.1% for the portfolio. Footfall has picked up a little bit lately, but the trend of general lower frequency development in Germany, and not only in the Deutsche EuroShop shopping centers, is observable. Here, overall and up to now with rather stable turnovers, as I just elaborated. Financials. Looking at the latest results of Deutsche EuroShop, from a top-down perspective, revenues grew by 0.9%. NOI remained on previous year's Q3 level, while EBIT came in with a minus of 0.9%, slightly below the first nine months of 2014. Net finance costs decreased by 11%, and overall, this led to an increase of EBT by 5.7% and on the consolidated profit by 5.9%. Let's go to page three, and there we'll go through the P&L in more detail. Revenues were up by 0.9%, reflecting to some extent the low inflation. We're addressing this topic of low inflation and the rent development later on a separate slide, as inflation is one key driver for our top-line growth, so I will come to that back later. Operating profit and management costs were up by 1.4 million, mainly due to higher operational costs and some provisions. The overall cost ratio is on a level of 10%, which is still a number in the normal range, comparing that with other periods. All those changes led to an unchanged net operating income of 135.9 million euro. The other operating income decreased slightly by 0.1 million, whereas corporate costs increased by some 1.1 million. Such exceptional increase was already visible in the half-year numbers, and the explanation stays here the same. The highly pleasant positive development of the stock price of Deutsche EuroShop in the first half of this year led to the fact that the provisions for the stock price-related long-term incentive plan for the employment and management, which started in 2010 and expired in June 2015, had to be increased. In total, EBIT came out with 131 million euro, which is with 0.9% slightly lower than previous year. On the net financing cost of now 41.1 million, they decreased due to lower interest cost of 2 million and due to the positive effect on a P&L relevant swap in the amount of 2.9 million. The equity result increased by 0.4 million euro, and the results attributable to minority shareholders increased by 0.7 million euro. As the valuation of our shopping centers is only due end of year 2015, the valuation result of Q3 includes only the investment costs. These investment costs amount in the first 9 months to 2.8 million and are lower than last year's level, but I usually write the rate here again that these investment costs occur rather stochastically over the year and may vary quarter by quarter. So all in all, EBT was up by 5.7% or 4.8 million and is now standing at 91 million. With taxes of 17.4 million, approximately 0.8 million higher than last year, consolidated profit increased by 5.9% to 73.6 million. So, and on page 4, you will find our key figures. FFO per share increased by 2.4% to 1.68 euro in the first 9 months, comparing to 1.64 in Q3 2014. Undiluted earnings per share increased by 6.2% from 1.29 to 1.33. And on an EPRA basis, the undiluted EPS went from 1.36 to 1.41 euro, a plus of 3.7%. Now let's have a look on the balance sheet on page 5. If you look at it and compare it with 2014 year numbers, there are no big changes as there were no acquisitions or disposals. Total equity increased by 8 million and the financial liabilities came down by 11 million, mainly due to irregular repayments on the loans. The financial liabilities now stand at 1.42 billion euro, according to that repayment. Deferred tax liabilities increased by 14.4 million, and on the other hand, there was a decrease of 11.2 million in the other liabilities. This results mainly from the lower market values of the existing interest swaps. As a result, and nicely, our equity ratio increased now to 50.4% compared to 50.1% by year-end 2014. And the LTV ratio remains moderate at a level of 40%. Total assets also stayed on the level of year-end 2014 with liquidity now at almost 57 million euro. Let's please now come to the loan structure, which is presented on page 6. The current average interest rate of 1.42 billion financial debt still stands at 3.76%, while the loans have an average maturity of almost 6 years. We continue to have a very good relations with a wide variety of banks and appreciate the extensive competition among them, which leads to favorable conditions for us now and in the foreseeable future, and I would like to elaborate on that a little more on the next page. On this page 7, you will find the maturity profile of our loans. As you can see, next year some 80 million of consolidated loans and another 145 million of unconsolidated loans, of which are half our account for Deutsche Euroshop, are maturing. The 145 unconsolidated loans and the refinancing for that is our center in Klagenfurt and Hamburg-Hageburg, has already been agreed with the banks. The interest rates for such loans have been fixed to a large extent at favorable interest rates of just slightly above 2%. While we are very happy with the results, the full positive effect of the interest costs will only be partially being reflected in the 2016 numbers, as the loans are only being rolled over in Q3 2016. Nevertheless, such effects will then continue to improve our financing cost in 2017. Let's now come to the bridges, and they start on page 8. The first is very unspectacular, and very easy to follow. The revenues saw an increase of 1.3 million, or 0.9% from 149.7 to 151 million euro. Follow me to the following page, number 9. This is a bridge for the financial result, and their interest costs were 2 million lower than last year. And besides the financial result, the equity result increased to a level of 16 million. That is 0.4 million higher compared to the same period of last year, and the minority profit share was up by 0.7 million euro. An increase in the value of a P&L relevant swap contributed another 2.9 million to the positive change. So all in all, the net finance cost came down 4.5 million in comparison to the first 9 months of 2014. They now sum up to 37.1 million euro. Let's now come to the EBT bridge on page 10. There you can see EBT has moved up 4.8 million to 91 million euro, and valuation contributed 1.8 million to that, and the remainder resulted from an increase in the operating profit of 3 million, or that is 3.3% up. And again, at the end now, the profit bridge on page 11. Profit after tax increased by 4.1 million to 73.6 million euro. Valuation contributed 1.4 million to that change. And the increase in the operating profit accounted for the remainder, that is a plus of 2.7 million or 3.6%. Before we now come to our forecast, I want to draw your attention to the current inflation environment, which is one very important driver to our top-line income, e.g. the rent development. And please follow me to page 12 for that. Here you see the development of the German Consumer Price Index starting 2010. Overall, one can detect a rather straight line and little volatile increase of the development of the index until mid-2014. However, it is easy to detect that volatility has increased recently, especially in the aftermath of the starting of quantitative easing by ECB beginning of the year. And furthermore, inflation has flattened, very much looking at the last 1.5 to 2 years. And looking into that even in more detail, the slight overall inflation increase after the turmoil around ECB's quantitative easing until mid of 2015 is again reduced by recent deflation, and that is in the months of September, a 0.2% minus. These developments have, of course, an impact on our business, which is still very stable, I have to reconfirm, but which is to a good extent dependent on inflation for its top-line growth. So for our forecast, this development means the following. Looking from today's point of view, we're overall in line with our guidance 2050. To be precise, mainly due to the situation mentioned above, we expect to see the results, with the exception of EBIT, which is also influenced by extraordinary one-off items, at the lower end of the previously communicated ranges of our forecast. These are for the full year 2015. We expect revenues of 201 to 204 million. We expect an EBIT of now 175 to 178 million. Previously, the range was 177 to 180 million euro. As explained earlier in the call, the combination of the mainly extraordinary one-off corporate costs and some higher operational costs led to that adjustment. However, due to the better financing result, we keep our range for the operating profit of before valuation and taxes of 126 to 129 million. And for the FFO per share, we expect to be in the range of 224 to 228. We fully stay to our dividend forecast of €1.35 per share for 2015, just as we have communicated before. In the light of this development I just have explained, we consequently have adjusted our forecast for 2016. Here, the base effects of 2015 and the low recent and expected inflation is reflected in the new guidance. We expect for 2016 revenues of around 200 to 204 million euro, before the number was 203 to 206, and EBIT between 175 and 179 million, before it was 179 and 182, and an operating profit before valuation and taxes of 127 to 130 million, before the number was 126 to 129. For the FFO per share, we expect to be in the range of 226 to 230 euro, after 230 and 234. And again, probably to summarize that topic, the continued low inflation becomes now more visible in the top-line growth. However, and that's very important, we appreciate the environment of low interest rates. I think it's allowed to mention here again, many of the already agreed interest savings out of the refinanced loans will only unfold their full effect in 2017 and going forward. This should be kept in mind by looking at such numbers. After the numbers, let's come to extensions and investments. On the internal growth side, we are happy to report that the Phoenix Center extension progresses as planned. One part of the extension was already opened, and the project will be completed with the opening of the new food court in spring next year. And in Kassel, as we have told you before, we are doing a food court there. We are in the process of finalizing the construction and implementation of such modern and launch-type food court, and it will have some 450 square meters of leasable areas. All food concepts are leased out already, and the opening is expected end of this month, just in time for the upcoming Christmas sales season, and we will really look into that and the positive effects coming out of that. For our shopping center Galleria Baltitska, we still work on the building permit procedure that we have lengthily also elaborated on in our Gdansk meeting with our analyst investors. And these procedures run now according to schedule, but it takes some time, as we have explained to you. One small activity we have to report on the investment side. In the city of Dessau, we have recently signed a purchase contract for the acquisition of the Karstadt building right adjacent to our Rathaus Center there. The building has been conceptually and construction-wise an integral part of the center from its beginning. So we are now able to further optimize the overall retail space under joint management and have, in that respect, found an agreement with Karstadt for an extension of the lease agreement. But now let's come to the investment market in general. I'm sure you know all of that, but the market stays very hot, deal flow is high, interest rates remain low, and the risk appetite of investors is still visibly increasing. Even for real estate classes, which have traditionally been considered a little higher on the risk curve, such as logistics, relative price differential to sectors less considered less risky, e.g. office or retail, seems to shrink. Overall, multiples rise to new record levels, but I think you read that all in the news by yourself. First, that means the following. Besides our bid for one center in Germany earlier this year, where we have given you the information already, the other offered centers that we looked at in Germany, Austria, and Poland did not fulfill our investment or quality criteria. Also, the last two ones in Poland and Germany that we have analyzed recently. However, we are continuously looking for high-quality investments, which are unfortunately still limited in numbers, but we continue to go after them. So far, my presentation for the first 9 months of 2015, and thank you for listening, and we are happy here to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. The first question comes from the line of André Remke of Baader Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning, sir. There's a number of questions, starting with the long-term incentive plan and the write-down in the which you mentioned as one of one-time effects in the operating and admin costs. Can you provide us with a number for this?
Yeah, if you look for the numbers comparing the first 9 months to 14 to this year, the first 9 months, the long-term incentive had an overall effect of almost a million. The write-offs or the provisions, as you were talking about, it's rather a small effect, but it's a little higher. It's half a million higher than last year. Traditionally, Deutsche EuroShop had extremely low write-offs or provisions for that, and they have come up this year. We had some bankruptcies of some smaller chains. We recovered most of it, but not all of it, and I don't expect a trend change here, but they were probably half a million higher this year, which is percentage of sales. We're probably at 0.6% now. Before, we had always been at 0.3%. Plus or minus.
And this is for this year?
This is
0.6 year, which you are expecting for this year. Okay. But you expect this to come down probably to the previous levels? No change in for the future also to be expected.
Yeah. In our guidance 2016, we have been a little more conservative, so have moved up a little, but this is just for planning purposes, and it's very hard to calculate. Yeah.
Okay, that's clear. Then coming to your guidance, am I right that you include a CPI increase of 1% for this and next year in your previously in your guidance, and this come down now to 0%? Is it the right assumption?
It's a little more difficult. Our standard lease contracts are only adjusted every second year, but then for the full index. So we have a little a kind of moving average effect in that. So this year, even part of last year's inflation was in the lease agreement, and next year, part of this year's inflation will be the basis for some contracts next year. Then we have two big expiry dates, which is usually beginning, say, the 1st of January and the 1st of July. So you have another averaging here. But I mean, I think you can see it in the top line growth that we, the inflation that we expect, which is, if you see it's anything between 0.5% or 0.3 and 1%, depending whom you're talking to and which institution you ask, this is reflected in the top line growth. So probably anything between 0.5% this year, and then later of the year we hope to see 1% again. So I mean, it's probably a little vague, but it's not as easy just to say I take the sales of last year, yeah, plus 0.5% or percent. We have 2,350 lease contracts, and they all have individual expiry dates and not regulations, but the basis is then to calculate it bottom up.
Okay, but if I get it right, you do expect a slightly more positive effect next year from the inflation.
Yeah, for next, it's probably we expect half a year of inflation this year, which would be the basis of next year.
Okay. And did you also change any kind of assumptions with regard to central rating costs, which are probably higher in the last quarter? Of course, you say said that the 10% is quite usual, but are you more cautious on that side also for next year?
I would say we adjusted a little bit for the write-offs, as we've just discussed, and the others are more or less on previous year's levels. What is always a little variable is on the maintenance side, because this again is calculated bottom up, and sometimes the center needs a little more, or the sum of the centers, and sometimes it's less. Even though it's in total, it's rather stable, but it could vary $500,000 up and down. And you see how sensitive in our very detailed calculation $500,000 or $1 million could be, which is not too much if you look at 19 shopping centers.
Yeah.
So we're basically on previous year's levels in the assumptions.
Okay. And another topic, the refinancing activity, something you already mentioned, the $80 million consolidated loan, when is for next year, when is this due exactly next year?
Olaf Borkner speaking. Yes, we started already negotiating the loan for the Galeria Baltica, which is a fully consolidated. The loan is maturing in the first quarter 2016. Current interest rate is 4.9%, and we expect a new interest rate which is lower than 2.5%. But we are still at the beginning. We have some offers on the table, and we are now going into details.
Well, when this will become effective, let's say, from April next year onwards. Is this change already included in your guidance?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so as a base assumption, 2.5%.
It was roughly 3%.
Roughly 3%. You mentioned below 2.5%.
That is our total indication, current indication. But as we haven't fixed the interest rate yet, and as a lot of things can happen until.
Okay, I get it. So your base assumption for the guidance next year is 3% of the $80 million.
For a loan in Poland.
Yep. Okay. Can you give us some more comments on the acquisition? I guess a smaller acquisition from High Street in Dessau when it comes to pricing or the conditions for the rental contract.
Yeah, let me pick that up. I mean, pricing it's an investment of 8 million, and we cannot really elaborate as it's a single tenant object on the lease agreement on that. However, the investment itself it's not highly attractive if you look at yield, as you probably can imagine. However, we look on it on a broader scale, and I'm sure most of you, or probably all of you, have never been in Dessau. But if you look, and if you're inside the center, you don't even feel whether you're in the center or in the Karstadt. So we had also strategic interest as Karstadt was about to move out to secure that and own one management and to now be able to lease it out of one hand and not create some funny competition there. So for the value creation over a mid and long term, from our point of view, it was necessary. And therefore, the isolated look at it is probably a little too short.
Okay, and then you had a press release some months ago with regard to the Billstedt Center. There were obviously not the opportunity to buy the property from Signature Capital.
I mean, it's still in the hand of Signature.
Yeah.
In the process of developing it, and there was a press release with Primark, and we are happy that ECE is jointly now managing it. It's the same reason that you want to have something which is construction-wise and conceptually integrated in one hand. And if and when Signature, who's the owner, is start selling it, we'll of course take a deep look into it. But as so far, we haven't seen it in the market.
Okay. And the very last question: can you already give us any kind of indication on the potential outcome of the portfolio valuation at year end? I know the process is obviously still running, but some of other companies already gave at this point in time at least a range what to be expected here.
Yeah, but we do not do forecasts. I mean, we do valuations, and you can imagine with such a big portfolio, it's a lengthy process for a first-time valuation, even for a big company. So it's maybe we're in the mid of November. The valuations are due end of the year. They have to be reviewed by our auditors. And I do not want to speculate, but on the other hand, you see that prices are increasing, and we expect, an uplift, yes, of course, but we would have expected that with the old valuator also. We'll have to see what the outcome is. So please, no speculation, but we'll release it as soon as we know.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks, that's from my side.
Next question comes to the line of Baldwin Scorn of Kempen & Co. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you. There's already been a few questions on the assumptions with respect to the new outlook. Could you maybe, you spoke about the write-off that was 0.5 million higher and it should be somewhat less, but still a little bit elevated next year. You also mentioned a long-term incentive that impacted the operating costs. You already talked about it, but I mean, I assume that also has something to do with the leasing environment, so that could be more recurring going forward. And in that respect, maybe you could also say something about the leasing spreads in the market. Are retailers becoming more, do you need to give some incentives here and there, or are the rents adjusted up or down, and how much in that respect? Could you comment on that?
Yeah, maybe start with the last point. And you see that in the numbers. I mean, Deutsche Euroshop basically develops itself along with inflation. That means that we do not see uplift on average. Yeah, we have a big portfolio of more than 2,350 contracts, as I just said. So that means in some centers, depending when they were leased out, you probably see some lower rents. On the other hand, the numbers prove that on other ends, we see some higher rents, so we average out and we develop with inflation. But to be honest, it's a tenant market at the moment for stationary retail. BC locations lose, of course, and probably A locations in High Street win still a little bit. but it's a tenant market. So with the tenant sales, and I've also elaborated on that, being flat or a minus 0.2, minus 0.1 in our portfolio, the leeway you need for real visible rent increases is not there at the moment. And bearing in mind now low inflation, the still increasing competition from online, which is, I mean, it's there. You see it also in the number. I think it's not such a bad result at the moment because the growth rates are more on the online business, yet to develop with inflation. Are we happy with it? Not really. Of course, we would like to see an uplift there, but I mean, the Deutsche Euroshop at least develops with inflation, keeps its market share, and from that onwards, we look into the future. That's on the rent side. I not in detail understood your questions on the cost side. I mean, if you would be so kind to be a little more precise, and then I would answer it. Happy to.
Yeah. Yeah, it's with respect to the operating costs. You say the year-on-year was impacted roughly 1 million as a result of a long-term incentive, incentives, plural, and you spoke of the write-off, which is 0.5 million higher due to bankruptcies of some smaller chains. That used to be 0.3 in total, and so I guess it's now 0.8 or something. Now, you already said about the write-offs that you take some into account going forward, and you didn't really mention anything about that long-term incentive of 1 million. Now, it could be I misunderstood, but that was part of the increase in the operating costs. Is that right?
Probably. Let me try to put it to you again and then see whether your question is still there. We compare the first 9 months of 2014 with 2015, of course, and as the long-term incentive provisions, they creep up over time or they are accumulated over time, and you all have seen the huge increase in share prices, not only for Deutsche Euroshop but the others, we had to build the provisions until June of 2015, and the difference was 1 million, and it was already in the numbers of June.
So sorry.
I mean, if share prices move to 50, 60, you will see that again. So that's not a one-off, but the jump, and we all have seen the jump in the stock market, was probably not a normal increase in the price.
Yeah, no, sorry. That is indeed, that was in the other costs. I thought you were referring to the operating costs as well. So, no, I was thinking about something else, maybe incentives, retailers. But this is something completely different. I saw that, and that's not relevant. Okay, thank you.
But you got also something wrong, and maybe I've misphrased it. We usually have provisions or write-offs for tenants between 600 and 800,000 euro, and we are now 500,000 above that. Yeah, so
okay.
It's the basis. And the 0.3 was a percentage point. Yeah, if you take 700,000 and divide it by 200,000, you come up with a percentage point. And this year it's a little higher. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I mentioned those numbers, and I've looked on more than a decade into shopping centers. This is a really healthy number. Of course, it's a little higher. Of course, we don't like it. We will have to see whether more chains will get problems or other chains will get problems. But this was, I mean, the difference between 2014 and 15.
Yeah. Yes, just one thing maybe on the inflation, just to get that picture completely clear. Like you said, your leases mature over the year, so a part in the first quarter, part in the last, and everything in between. And it uses the last inflation CPI number, I assume. Now, I just wondered, because you said because of lower inflation and other matters, this year you will come out at the low end of the range. But, yeah, I wonder, I mean, this inflation number and its low impact should already been quite clear at the half year, I guess. And, yeah, the outlook for inflation, I'm not sure how much it was adjusted down during the year in general. I do understand that 16 will have a heavy hit because you have this, I mean, the leases today being adjusted and actually for the first quarters as well. So
Yeah, it's, I can pick up that point. It's even more detailed. If you would read our standard contract, there the step up or the increase is defined by the difference between the December value of a given year and the December value of the previous year. And if you look then at the December number 13 and compare that to the December number 14, and you see the volatility there, you can, that was already, that the 2000, let's say, the legal, to be applied index jump for 2014 applicable to 2015 was already rather low. You yes. might have in mind the inflation of 0.9% for 2014, which was reported, but if you take the December value of 13 with the December value of 2014, it was much lower. It was just 0.2%, and that was why I was sort of referring a little bit to the volatility and the more complex matter behind it when you want to calculate it. Yeah, and then of course there are quite a number of leases coming up in July every year, and to make it even more complicated, you have a lot of anchors that come up any time as the 10 years expire when they started. So it's creeping into the numbers already this year, but it's not as straightforward to calculate.
And that would also imply that this was not something you really saw coming at a half year? Was that?
The issue is with the high sensitivity question is how often you can adjust your guidance in that respect. And again, I think it's good that we talk about the volatility. And if you go on page 12 and look at 2015.
Yeah, I saw the.
Within 3 months, see a jump of more than, or let's say, of one time 1.2% inflation difference in one single month down, then 1% up, and then 0.5% up, being a little bit in the plus. Then you see creeping that up until December. Yeah, so we were in the plus of probably 0.5% and were. Yeah, hoping to end up as probably Mr. Draghi and everybody else creeping up to 1%. But then we saw after, by the way, the numbers always come out a little later, then we saw going down in September. And then we said, I think it's time, I mean, we don't think, it's time to adjust the expectations on that end.
Yeah, and when it comes to inflation numbers that are still not published, you're using consensus forecast there, I assume.
To be honest, in the past it was a case, and this year we are a little more conservative on that end because, I mean, this is probably a little bit the problem of the whole industries or other industries. Everybody thinks next year the inflation is 1 or 2%, but it didn't happen over the last 2-3 years, you know. And it's in your, probably in your models, so that's why we are not putting 2% in next year. So consensus for next year is probably... I mean, you can look that up, but again...
Probably 1.6 or something like that for Germany.
Yeah.
And you would be at lower than that in your outlook.
Yeah. It's, I mean, for this year end, probably it's 0.5%, and next year it's 1.2% or something. And then we have to see in which individual months that's reflected in the numbers. Yeah.
Okay, and that is the numbers that you used today for this outlook.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, followed by one. Next question comes to line of Kai Klose of Berenberg. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I've got a question. The tenant insolvencies you mentioned, was it in one specific mall, or was it in Germany, or was it outside Germany, or was it in a specific sector? And the second question, you confirmed dividend for the current fiscal year, but you didn't speak about the dividend for 2016. We're going to keep the dividend policy to raise it by 5 euros per year, or is this also subject to be changed?
Yeah, I don't know whether I got the question one right. That was you were referring to the provisions or the write-offs, whether it was in one mall or not?
No, you were saying that you had a higher number of...
you're a little hard to hear here. Okay. Now it was, let's say, basically... two or three smaller chains, and it was Max, for example. This is something that is public.
And there was a case of Madonna. It was mostly in Germany, and they probably had between 6 and 8 shops in our centers. So it was not one mall. And, of course, they are leased out again, so that shows how strong our portfolio is. And, of course, we have some security against it, but if a chain really breaks down that quickly, you as a landlord get a little of that problem into your books, and this is what you see. Is it an answer? Or?
Yeah, the second question was on the dividend policy.
Yes, of course. Yeah, I mean, we are so cash strong and so stable that just because we adjust our top line growth by probably 2% downwards and with more decreasing interest cost on our end, I think we keep our forecast even for 2016 then unchanged to be paid out in 2017. We are not that sensitive to these small adjustments when we go come to the dividend.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes in line of Michel Varela of Société Générale. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I have a very simple question. I would like to understand the increase of the property operating cost. We had last year in Q3 2.1 million. It is now 3.6 million in Q3 2015, so 1.5 million more. You explained that the write-off explained 0.5 million, but where is the other 1 million, please?
Yeah, we have also some what we call more non-distributable costs. So that is what usually all the ancillary costs and some vacancy costs, the ancillary costs are usually handed over to the tenants and some proportion cannot hand over. They were higher, also because of the bankruptcy we saw. So then in this instance, the owner has to bear that. That is part of a bigger part this year. So also hopefully a more one-off item, but I mean this is an effect that you see.
Okay, it could be useful to have all the split as you give during the annual result, especially for this quarter because it's a very different figures. We have an increase of 68% in one quarter, so it could be useful to have a split if it is possible, of course.
Yeah. And what I do not mention is, of course, we have maintenance costs, and they may vary also quite a bit. Yeah, 1 million more in one quarter would look probably disastrous, or 1 million less, yeah, because they are not really equal divided among over the year. It could look very, very nice to be positive. So if you look at the overall magnitude of the numbers, you might be more relaxed. But we take that note and see what we can do there. Yeah.
Thank you very much indeed.
Next question comes in line of Jochen Schmidt of Medler. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning. I have one question on the midterm outlook. What are your expectations for like-for-like rental growth of your portfolio, excluding inflation? You have touched this already a bit. I just would like to get some flavor how this could develop with regard to 2017. That's my question. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, we are still working. We just have finished our business plan for 2016, and we've reported on that and at last adjusted a little our guidance. We'll do next our midterm planning, and we'll see what we can release to you then next year. But this is too early, and it's, of course, mainly driven also by inflation assumptions, but we'll have to look deeper into that.
Okay, sorry, to follow up, maybe I should ask the question in a slightly different way. So with regard to 2017, from today's perspective, do you think inflation will be the most relevant driver for your portfolio, or with regard to expiring rental contracts, will there be any significant like-for-like rental moves?
I think inflation will be the main driver.
Okay, thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I would like to hand back to Mr. Wilhelm Wellner.
Yeah, thank you for listening and your questions. And then in this round, we'll hear the next time next year.
And yeah, have a nice weekend. Bye-bye.